Ryan Dixon and Rory Boylan host Tape to Tape, the hockey podcast by Sportsnet.
Now here's a turnover. Crosby in front scores! Oh, that's it from Sidney Crosby! The man's a thief!
I get up every morning, I do the best I can, and work as hard as I can, prepare my team the best I can, try to love the guys the best I can, make them feel good, make them better players.
Crosby with the drop for Marchand with a shot, scores!
Any kind of play in a game of that magnitude, and you're able to win, it's an incredible feeling.
Make it two on the night for Marchand, make it 3-2 Canada, early in the third period.
Getaway car from a bullet hose, didn't stop pushing till they broke the mold.
To Tape to Tape, T2T. I'm Ryan Dixon. I'm a writer for Sportsnet.ca and Sportsnet Magazine. Sitting to my left in his two-tone Team Europe jersey, he knew all along, it is Sportsnet.ca's senior producer for digital, Rory Boylan.
This is the final we were all waiting for. This is what the World Cup was made for, right?
Oh, man.
Canada-Europe.
But shout out to my neighbor who's French. He's like, I'm going to be a world champion soon. I'm from Europe.
Yeah, talk about this tournament has been criticized for the world cash grab of hockey, and it's not growing the game. Well, you're going to have fans like that, right? Who may not have otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. You're repping like eight countries. Yes, folks, the World Cup of Hockey final, Canada versus Europe. No one, I don't think, had this one in their bracket, so to speak. If you don't have us in your favorites at sportsnet.ca, you should, because you can listen to Tape to Tape there. You can also check us out on iTunes. Find Rory at Rory Boylan on Twitter, myself at Dixon on Sports. We're going to have Gare Joyce of Sportsnet and Sportsnet Magazine. He's been following Team Europe all along. I've quoted Gare a couple times because he early on pointed out, you know what? Team Europe does have a number one center, number one D combo of Roman Josi and Anze Kopitar, and about the only other team that can match that is Canada. So there you go. It's all about the good defenseman and good top mm-hmm. D-man, top center. We'll have Gare come on down, break down what's happened with Europe to get here, maybe talk about Ralph Kruger, the most interesting man in sports for a while, and get his take on the final. Rory and I are going to give our thoughts on the final in the last segment, but let's just go back to the semifinal, and we'll leave the Sweden Europe game mostly for Gare. But yeah, the Russia Canada Saturday night, I tell you, for a hot minute there, it's getting a little interesting. As Evgeny Kuznetsov puts Russia up 2-1, he's flapping the wings. Everyone's feeling the rivalry is back, maybe, and mostly just being like, it's probably kind of nice if you're Canadian, even just to feel your heart skip a beat there for a while. But man, the craziest thing I was thinking, and I wrote, that's the best Russia could do, and Canada still basically just pulled away. Like, that's the state of where things are at. I mean, in fairness to Russia, maybe you could say that of every team. I still don't know if they would pull away from Sweden, but whatever, Sweden didn't get there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you think about all those great players on Russia, you know, the historic rivalry, and when push comes to shove right now, they don't belong in the same rink as Canada.
That's amazing, isn't it? How much better Canada has been than everybody. Even when it looked like Russia might be able to take that game, when they took the lead, when it was tied, they were getting thoroughly outplayed by the Canadians.
Absolutely.
It wasn't even close.
And I'll just jump in. Russia, for the first 10 minutes, because Canada has had maybe not so great starts, for 10 minutes they looked pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then Crosby goes in, does his Crosby thing, strips Orlov, dekes Bobrovsky out.
Maybe should have been icing.
And then after that, Bobrovsky's got to start making shorthanded saves, and like, it could have been 3-0 after the first period.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, the script for how Russia was going to beat Canada was being followed there. They were getting outplayed, yeah, but they had an excellent goalie who was standing on his head, and they had the firepower that was just going to be able to find the goal or two here that was going to be enough to squeak by Canada, maybe 3-2, even though you get outshot 50-20 or something like that. And they still, at the end of the game, through two periods, they were looking strong, and that was the story that was being followed. But the third period came, and Canada just kept doing what they were doing, and that was enough to pull away, and Russia quickly just fell out of it after the 4-2, I think that was, it was clearly
done. Even when Marshawn scored
over.
3-2, it was like, I don't know that this game is going to be a game again.
Russia needed to take the lead and just kind of have Bobrovsky hold it. But once they fell behind, you got the feeling there's not enough push here to overcome a third period deficit. Whether it's one or two goals or whatever, there just wasn't enough there from the Russians.
I think the most common or one of the most common conversations I had at this event was with other reporters being like, what if NHL competent coach X coached Russia? How much better would they be? Because Oleg Zanarek, I mean, I understand every country has its own way of doing things, but it sure feels like Russia is stuck in a bygone era. Those forwards are just not consistently getting the ice time that they need. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even look at the power play. You could say it's all on the players. Maybe it is, but 0-11. I mean, can we get some better schemes? I just wonder if, you know, I'm trying to find reasons why Russia could be better soon. And I mean, I would say obviously the defense was the biggest soft spot here, and you've got Sergachev and Ivan Provorov, guys who look like they're going to be really good NHL players come along. Look at Russia's goal scorers in this tournament. I mean, Kucherov, Tarasenko, Kuznetsov, those guys are all under 25. I mean, there's obviously still some things to like. I kind of wonder if it's going to take it's very hard to imagine with the Russian mindset, them importing someone from another country to come in and kind of try and tidy up the national program. But you've got so many Russians now who play 15 years in the NHL, then go home. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's one of those guys, but it would be nice to see some kind of tweak, or more than a tweak, some fundamental change to try and get them back to contender status.
Well, they've certainly had influential Canadian coaches go over in Russia. Like Dave King is probably the most well known. We had on the broadcast for that game, Mike Keenan made an appearance, and he was talking. He coached Magnitogorsk there for a number of years. I'm not saying he would be the next national coach or anything like that, but it was interesting to hear him talk about that ice time and say, you need to be riding these guys. Yeah. And I wonder, because the Americans kind of faced a similar thing, right? Where they had a coach and a roster built for a bygone era, like you say. Is this tournament giving these nations a chance to look at themselves in the mirror and say, we're falling behind here. We can't keep going like this. We need to have a different coaching style. We need to build our teams differently. We need to, maybe this goes more for the Russians and the Americans who have a pretty good grassroots program. Do we need to coach differently, have different, teach kids how to play hockey differently when they're learning?
And I do think there is some awareness, having done a big story about this in Russia. Like, I mean, obviously right now the economic situation is grim, but they are trying to build more arenas, and the plan is they will after 2018. I know they're under 18 or under 17 squad is now doing what the U.S. national team program does, like taking part in the junior league. So they are doing some things. And other federations, I mean, don't forget, of course, we go back 20 years ago and Canada's in crisis,
exactly,
right? I mean,
exactly.
These things are cyclical. Sweden's revamped and got guys, you know, they really zoned in on like getting guys to be more competitive, and that, you know, they haven't got the next great forward yet, but Sweden still looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. And obviously Finland, I mean, yeah, they were an abomination at this tournament, but they're really going the right way. So it's kind of this weird space where you're like, on one hand, how in 2016, when things should be going the other way, is Canada lapping the field? But check back in 2 years and it might be like, well, every single game is now much more of a life and death struggle for Canada. I mean, Canada obviously doesn't dominate the World Juniors the way it has at times, and definitely the under 18. So those are probably harbingers of things to come. It's just at the elite level. And in fairness, Sam Cosentino was saying Canada has also figured out how to connect the dots between producing great young players and, you know, essentially finishing them and having them at the highest level come together. And everyone knows when they come to the program, whatever is asked of them, they're on board to do. And I don't know that every other country benefits from players who are just like, I literally don't care what I do. I'm just happy to be here. So we'll see. But like I said, there's a paradox because it seems like there's this big gap, but I also wonder if that's a little bit of a mirage.
There is a gap right now for sure. But when Canada's dominating as they are, everybody's going to change and adapt to try and beat Canada. The Americans went about it the wrong way, but you're going to you're going to take lessons for how Canada got there. And that's now the one everybody's chasing. I've always, my opinion on like lack of goal scoring in the NHL and how do you fix that? Is it by rules? My opinion has always been, I think at some point there's going to be some evolution in the game, some coaching style that comes in. Because remember when the neutral zone trap came in, it was an offensive style. It was a new coaching style that kind of came in and led to this really stout defensive era. I always thought there was going to be some kind of coaching style that was going to come in, and it's not going to get back to what it was in the 80s, but it was going to improve what it is now. And you look at this Canada team and how much offensive skill it's got. You look at the North American team and the vigor they play with, the how exciting that team was. I wondered if, looking at this tournament, if this was, we were seeing this, how this might change how, like, look at how great North America did. Would this change how a coach would want to coach in the NHL? But then you also look at Team Europe, who is now in the final. Yeah. What are they doing? They're playing a very shutdown style. Sweden was playing a very shutdown style. Canada, when they won in Sochi, they barely scored any goals,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
Now you're on the smaller ice. Is that what's making the difference here? Is that allowing them to be more of an offensive team than they were on the bigger ice, which is actually lends itself to a more defensive
That's
style
right.
than you'd think.
That's right. You can play a localized game.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm kind of caught in the middle here. I at first thought, well, maybe we're starting to see some kind of a shift, but now we're at the final and we're looking at Team Europe and we're looking at Team Sweden, who they got by, and they were playing that defensive game. And I thought, I just don't think we're there yet. I think Canada is just this collection of so much talent that when you have all these guys on the same team, they're just going to score goals.
Yeah.
And the North Americans too, they're just, that's what young players do. They're not fully developed as defensive players yet. They're all about offense and that kind of explosive game. But I was really hoping that this was going to be, we were going to have a takeaway from this World Cup as, well, maybe there's a new kind of style of coaching that can be implemented by an NHL team or two. And maybe it already is by like the Dallas Stars, and somebody's going to try and
Dallas
use
has
that.
To win the Stanley Cup then.
That's the thing. That's why every fan should be rooting for the Dallas Stars to win the Stanley Cup, because if they do, well, everybody's going to be trying to play like the Dallas Stars to beat the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, it'll be, I mean, if people wanted to latch on to how North America played and import that into their game, that'd be amazing. I don't know if that's going to happen. And yeah, Canada, I mean, to some degree, it's funny that they have all this minute attention to detail, and of course that speaks to the preparation, but it's almost like they don't need it. Like, they're the one team that could go out there and just go, all right, just roll them, boys. Well, because you look at that game against Russia, Sidney Crosby's a beast. He gets the points. Marchand has two goals, but really it was the Getzlaff, Stamkos, Tavares line that was just dominant. Like, those guys could have had three goals. So, I mean, even the line that isn't scoring just looks dominant.
Yeah, and in this final, maybe it's that line that does it again. Maybe it's some other line that does it. That's the thing. You don't know which Canadian line is going to be the best line in any given night. It's odds are it's going to be the Crosby line, but there's going to be another line that's going to be just as dominant. How has Steven Stamkos not filled the score sheet with all kinds of goals and points yet? He's been excellent. That John Tavares goal, I have to say, was, my jaw dropped. The patience.
He might have the purest mitts in the league. And like, even though he's become such a better skater since he came in, you know, he's not like Crosby or basically all those other guys who have blazing speed. He's become a strong skater and a good skater. But what he gets by on is just freak hand-eye coordination. Like, I guess it's hard to say someone has better hands than Patrick Kane, I guess, but I don't know. John Tavares, I think, just in terms of like what he can do with a puck on his stick and like silly little moves and, you know, picking the spot, I bet you his hand eye is like top three in the league.
Yeah, I think I would have to agree with that. And he's almost an underappreciated superstar, right?
Yeah, because he doesn't fly around the, like Crosby, you know, we always joke he's like the best third liner in the league, right? Like your eye is drawn to Sidney Crosby because his legs are churning, he's flying. Steven Stamkos, when he like loops around his own net, he just is like a comet going down the far side. But Tavares isn't like that. So you're not immediately looking at him going, wow, what an amazing player.
And I think there's actually a couple players on the Canadian roster who are like Tavares, the knock on him from his draft year was always his skating, and he's definitely gotten better at that. But you look at some of these other players like Ryan Getzlaf.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
you're
holy
like, isn't this guy old yet? But he's still so effective.
Yeah, he's
Big Joe.
Yeah, he controls the play so well, and he never makes a bad play. He always puts the puck where it needs to go, whether it's into an open area of the ice where his player can go and get it, or right on his stick, or whatever. And it's another underappreciated superstar. And of course, Joe Thornton, that's what he is, right? Yeah. He is the most underappreciated superstar talent that there is, and I can't get enough of that beard. I don't know if you saw the
kind of
feature
at the same time.
The feature that aired in that Canada-Russia game where Joe Thornton and Brent Burns were sitting next to each other and being interviewed.
Oh, really?
Two beards.
Beard brothers.
And they say they're not going anywhere. They're going
to shave them for the summer, I guess not. Like, I don't know how they got through the hot, sunny days with those things.
And I thought, if they're going to keep these for this year, how long is it going to get?
Oh, my God. Well...
There you go. Number one burning question entering the NHL season, which we'll be talking about soon. How long can the beers get? It's not time to talk NHL quite yet. We got a World Cup best of three final coming, and to break down how Team Europe became the team to face Canada, we are going to talk to Sportsnet's Gare Joyce coming up on the other side of the break. Gare Joyce is going to tell us all about Team Europe when Tape to Tape returns.
How strong is European growth, and are we underestimating its potential?
And there's a shot right on Tatar with a rebound. He scores! Right off the draw, Tatar down the right side with the first shot, pops up the glove. Just like that, Team Europe, 12 seconds in.
It's a little bit of a higher risk trade, but I'd like to buy the euro currency here. This is going to be a short covering squeeze rally that's going to be quick, fast, and sharp.
They score!
Having said that, what do you do with the Euro today?
Gabrick in front of the net as Ehrhoff gets at the puck.
The Euro broke about 100 ticks, and it was a stunning, shocking
reversal. Off to the races.
Off to the races. But the thing that surprises me most about it is we're several hours later, and the thing has been relentless.
Tatar is in front. They score! Puck is cleared in front off the far boards, and Thomas Tatar parked at the near post. In overtime.
By Europe looks great. It's geared to an upswing, and that upswing is slowly starting to happen.
This week in Europe, we're going to end positively.
And Europe will play Canada in a best 2 out of 3 for hockey's World Cup.
How worried should we about Europe?
Welcome back to Tape to Tape. Joining us in studio now, he has been on the Team Europe beat for... what some might wonder is the longest week of his life, given the style of play. But whatever, it's effective. Gare Joyce, Gare, how you doing?
Very good.
So, yeah, we've heard a lot about the way this team plays. I think, you know, there's kind of only one path to them being successful, we think. So there's some carping about it not being the most exciting hockey in the world, but I guess if you're Team Europe, you don't really give a hoot about that, right? Given the results and the fact they're now in the final.
Well, I think for Team Europe to be successful, they sort of have to take the air out of the ball and slow the game to their pace. And I think they even managed to do that pretty well against Canada in the opening round. Did anyone see this coming? Not quite. You know, I went into the tournament thinking they didn't have the goaltending to contend. Halak pretty well beat the Washington Capitals by themselves, but that's a load those many years ago.
Yeah, sure.
The one thing in trying to break it down now, and I said this early in the tournament, is that if you take a look at the teams in this tournament, their first line center and their lead defenseman, really only Canada matches Team Europe. In the fact that Kopitar and Roman Josi are a match to any combination that you see, like the real minutes eaters up front and in the back. And even though Kopitar hasn't scored, it's not like he hasn't had influence.
Yeah.
And he's still out there the most when they've been defending a lead in defensive zone faceoffs, all of that. Like, he is really the backbone of that team, even when he's not scoring.
I've stolen that point and used it any number of times from you over the course of this week. Because, yes, okay. It's true. You
you know, you think Sweden, all that, they have that great back end, but they don't have a center like Anze Kopitar. The U.S. wouldn't have even come close to matching that. So, yeah, it's true. When you talk about those pillars, they had the one guy in the middle and the one guy on defense. I guess while we're talking about style, too, I mean, Ralf Kruger, international man of sporting mystery, obviously involved in the English Premier League, now comes and coaches this team as coach in the NHL. What do you make of his influence? And for people who don't know much about this guy who's been largely a international hockey figure, can you shed any light on who Ralf Kruger is?
I think Ralf Kruger's going to be working in Southampton for a couple of more years, but he'll be able to write his own ticket coming back to the league. I'm pretty sure there's nothing much sweeter than watching a Ralf Kruger coach team given little chance, just pretty well routing the U.S., coached by John Tortorella, who remains in his own mind the best coach who's ever worked in the NHL. Yeah, you know what? He did this in the short term, you know, on the fly. He never griped about coming in and having a very small window to bring a team together. What he could do with a pretty decent core of talent over the long haul, I mean, you can sort of project off of this tournament that he'd do pretty well. And anyone who has, you know, struggles in Edmonton, you know, that is, that just goes with the course.
Yeah, exactly. That's like being 70 and having a little back pain.
It's epidemic. You know, you shouldn't be surprised. You can't get vaccinated against failure in Edmonton.
When this tournament started, I think the NHL had in mind that they would be getting a Canada-US, Canada-Russia, maybe Canada-Sweden-type final, and now they get this matchup that isn't very sexy with Europe. Is there a path Europe can take to win this thing?
It's hard to see, just given what Canada has rolled out on the ice. What I would say is that in their matchup in the first round, Europe was only down 2-1 in the second period, and the puck came back to Roman Josi in the slot, and it was as good a scoring chance as he could possibly have, and he breaks a stick. And it's a 2-on-1, although the one had no stick, going the other way, and Canada goes up 3-1. It was the turning point in the game, really. I think that Europe can hang around. I would say they have to try and get out of the first 10 minutes scoreless. Not if they get a lead, fine, but scoreless in the opening game to have a chance. But really, given where they came from, you know, it's off-sited that after the first four periods in the pre-tournament games, they had been outscored by Team North America 9-1. It looked pretty dire at that point. To me, it doesn't look quite as dire if you're saying, can these guys win a game?
Yeah.
And, you know, you give them a goaltender's chance, sort of.
Right.
I think the most surprising development is really that Halak has been as good as he's been, even though he hasn't really stolen a game at this point.
Right.
You know, in beating Sweden, he wasn't even one of the three stars.
I think that's the formula for any team to beat Canada in this tournament, is just try and hold them off the board, keep it low scoring, and maybe your goalie can steal it. Is Canada that much better than everybody else at this point in time? Or is it just this tournament, they're taking advantage of it? What's it going to take for these other countries to kind of catch up again? Have we really pulled away this much?
If they could somehow find a way to fold Sweden and Finland into Team Europe, then maybe there will be a way. I just think there's something absolutely inevitable and inexorable about the depth that Canada has. If you can hang around with them for a period, you're going to wear out the top half of your lineup. You're going to wear out your first two lines. You're not going to be playing your fourth line at all. And they can just roll lines out there, and eventually it's going to take a toll on you. You can't sustain for 60 minutes what the very best Canadian players, and many of them the very best players in the world, give when Sidney Crosby is playing 13 minutes. those are 13 really good minutes. You know, when Nancy Kopitar or Roman Josi is up over 20, and with Josi, I think like even 25, you know, by the 23rd, 24th, 25th minute, it's diminishing returns. The quality of his game goes down. Whereas with Canada, the quality of their game in like, you know, in 25 second increments is really so high. Any short tournament, a goaltender can steal a game. I would like, actually, I'd like Europe's chances better if it were just a one game final rather than two of three.
Well, then that leads us to, I think we know who you would pick, but would you at least go out there and say we might get a three game final, or do you think Canada's just a little too much and they will dust them in two?
I think it'll be a two game final. I think that one of the games could be close through a couple of periods. I fully expect one of the games to be not that Team Europe is going to mail it in. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think if Canada gets a couple of goals of, you know, less than four-star quality, then that can be a bit of a heartbreaker or backbreaker for Team Europe. So That's as good as I can do. I wish I could conjure up more of a story. But it's been a pretty amazing story to this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I went up to Quebec for their training camp, and the one thing that I was impressed with, just there's so much veteran talent, and everyone knows Marian Hossa is like a prototype of what you would want in a first line forward who's not an all-star. Although I think he might have had, no, I don't think he's had an all-star, first or second team all-star berth. But fundamentally, they had so many guys that are so sound.
Yeah.
And they would take coaching in a way they could turn around and coach. so, I mean, there is that.
Yeah.
Well, Frans Nielsen saying yesterday, you know, maybe not the most talented team in the tournament, but the smartest. And I think there is something to that.
Yeah, definitely a bunch of savvy vets on Team Europe. We'll see what they can do against Canada in the final. Gary, been on the Europe beat since day one. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That is Sportsnet.ca's and Sportsnet Magazine's Gary Joyce. He's been everywhere in the hockey world, so it only made sense to have him cover the team where the guys are from everywhere. Closer. All right, coming up next on Tape to Tape, we will wrap things up quick. Rory and I will give our thoughts on the World Cup of Hockey final. That is coming up next on Tape to Tape.
Another day, try to get it right.
Welcome back to Tape to Tape. Well, we heard from Gare, not overly optimistic about a scintillating final. Rory, I mean, I think we'd love to provide a little sizzle here, but realistically, I think what's best case that Europe, as we said, you know, a bunch of guys who know their way around a rink, they find a way to squeeze out a 2-1 win, and then now it's fun because Canada's like, oh, we got to win two games?
Yeah, I think if Europe can win that first game, then you have your best case scenario final, whether or not Canada comes back to win the next two games. If you're the NHL, you want that three games series, I think. You don't want Canada to come out and win game one like 5-0
sure.
or something like that and have that be the game that they romp. I mean, we kind of both ruled out Europe when this tournament starts.
Oh, no. I don't know if there's digital.
Tape,
yeah, I
will,
maybe this stayed in my own brain, but when people were deriding them, I was like, well, hang on. Because they do have guys who can do a little bit of everything and... Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I had him in the final or coming out of that division, but I didn't think, like, when people were like, oh, this is an abomination, I was like, their defense is 10 times what Russia's is.
Yeah. So I guess my other takeaway then from this tournament and listening to Gare talk about, you know, how do you beat Canada? Well, if you can combine Sweden and Finland into one, you know, is the modern day summit series, which will never happen, but is a modern day summit series like Canada versus everybody? My idea when we were talking on the last episode my idea was that you have the second Canadian team come in. But the more I thought about it, I thought the team that might give Canada the best run for its money is you eliminate Team North America from the next World Cup, you bring back Team Europe, and you have those seven teams announce their rosters, build their rosters with whatever they want to do. And then your eighth team of the tournament is Team World or Team International, and it's everybody else who is not on a team already gets put onto a team, the eighth team. And I think that would be the team that would have
the best shot
of beating Canada, wouldn't it?
Well, that would certainly be an interesting draft, the most global draft for a tournament ever. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting idea. I think you said it before. I think it was you who said, you know, now that they've introduced something different with Team Europe, with North America, it does give you the leeway to go somewhere else. And, yep, you know, as much as people are kind of carping about, oh, well, Europe plays a boring game, hey, man, if you're the NHL, you're going, well, one of these teams that we came up with is now in the final. Yep. So, you know, that's some validation there. So whether or not it is an amazing final remains to be seen, but Team Europe asserted itself well. Obviously, we both have Canada. I'll say, just for the fun of it, it's a three-gamer. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to say 2-1 Canada in the first game, 4-1 in the second.
All right. That actually sounds pretty good. Well, it's been fun chatting World Cup for the last couple days. When we're back next, it'll be teeing up the NHL season. I'm sure we'll reflect back on the World Cup, but yeah, it'll be time to get hot and heavy about the NHL season, the exhibition schedule kicking off here shortly. So yeah, make sure you're back for that. Until next time, thanks for tuning in. Come back a little bit down the road for more glass rattling hockey action on Tape to Tape. When you move in right up close to me,
that's when I get the chills all over me. This has been Tape to Tape, the hockey podcast by Sportsnet.